Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, January 11th, 2018. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we'll meet Marnie Kaler, the new UAS Director of Admissions Recruitment and Advising. Justin Jones and Natalie Watson will work on recruiting some of you as coaches for Girls on the Run. Mercedes Munoz will highlight the upcoming Canvas fundraiser dinner. Brenda Wright will preview the upcoming Autobahn meeting, and Nancy Ducherney will highlight this weekend's arts and entertainment happenings with Arts Up. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon, currently 17 degrees and overcast here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The city of King Cove says it's reached a deal with the Trump administration to build a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. King Cove residents say they need the road to access the all-weather airport in the community of Cold Bay. But environmental groups believe it would ruin critical wildlife habitat. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Zoe Sobel has more.
For the past year, the city of King Cove has been working with the Trump administration to find a way to build a road through the refuge. Now, City Administrator Gary Hennig says they have reached an agreement with the Interior Department for a land swap between the King Cove Corporation and the federal government. He expects the deal to be signed January 22nd in Washington, D.C.
The whole community is excited simply because after 30 years, we do believe that this can now happen.
King Cove residents say they need the road because bad weather can leave people stranded during medical emergencies. But the 12-mile gravel road would pass through what is now designated wilderness, the highest level of conservation given to federal lands. Environmental groups like Defenders of Wildlife say they will challenge the agreement in court. In a press release, President Jamie Rappaport-Clark says, quote, "We will not stand by while some of the world's most vital wildlife habitat is ripped from public ownership to satisfy commercial interests." In 2013, former Interior Secretary Sally Jewell rejected the idea of the road, saying it would cause irreparable harm to the refuge and the wildlife that depend on it. But Hennig isn't worried about legal battles with environmental groups.
We have known that that is going to be there. It's always been there. We are comfortable in believing that once it's known what the agreement has in it, we are very confident that we will prevail.
The Interior Department didn't respond to a request for comment. Once the deal is signed, Hennig believes it will take up to 6 months to study the best route for the road and appraise the land. Then Hennig says King Cove will be looking to the state of Alaska to fund construction of the road, estimated at $22 million. In a best-case scenario, he says the road would be completed by 2020. I'm Zoe Sobel in Onalaska.
Three Oregon tribes will benefit from legislation signed by President Trump this week, KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
The Western Oregon Tribal Fairness Act restores more than 30,000 acres of federal land to the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians and the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians. Furthermore, it grants the Coquille Tribe governance of its forest, undoing restrictions imposed by Congress in 1996. Mark Johnston is the tribe's executive director.
The Coquille Indian Tribe is just very grateful that Congress and the president have finally corrected a problem that we've dealt with for over 20 years. This move puts us on the same legal footing as all other tribes and is going to give us a chance to more efficiently manage the Coquille Tribal Forest.
The act was championed by Oregon Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio. He says it's a good step towards repatriation efforts for the First Nations. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Lower Brule Sioux Tribal Chairman Boyd Gorno is set to deliver the State of Tribes Address Thursday at the South Dakota Legislature. This is the third such speech by a tribal leader. Last year, Yankton Sioux Chairman Robert Flying Hawk urged for unity and understanding between Native and non-Native people. He also spoke about education and work to boost economic development for tribes. Gorno is expected to talk about meth use and health care. The State of Tribes is an opportunity for tribal leaders to address lawmakers and for lawmakers to hear about some of their challenges and concerns. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate Tribes, Dakota Western Corporation, and SWO Plastics. Commercial strength trash bags from 3 to 65 gallons for industrial use by casinos, the IHS, and more. DakotaWesternCorp.com. Support by City University of New York's Graduate School of Journalism's MA in Social Journalism, rethinking journalism as a community service. Application deadline is January 5th at journalism.cuny.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, January 11th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. Joining me here in Studio A now is Marnie Kaler. She's the new UAS Director of Admissions, Recruitment, and Advising at UAS. Welcome to the show, Marnie.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on the air.
It's nice to have you here. What does the Director of Admissions, Recruitment, and Advising do?
Absolutely. I've been brought on board to kind of bring students into the UAS family, starting with high school dual credit, getting them to enroll after they graduate from high school, getting more students excited about Southeast and coming to Juneau to go to college, making sure that they have a successful pathway into the programs that they want to study, and then are successful and graduate on time. That's also equally important, part of my position as well.
And you're alumni, right? So you know the ropes.
Absolutely. I graduated with my MPA degree from the University of Alaska Southeast, so I'm so excited to be back.
And worked in Anchorage at the university up there for a while, right?
That's correct. I was at Anchorage for 10 years over new student recruitment. It's a little bit of a different structure, so this brings all of the pieces together in one package, which is what I'm really excited about.
All right. Well, welcome back. What keeps you busy on your free time when you're not working as Director of Admissions, Recruitment, and Advising?
Right now.
Is there any free time?
Right now, it's getting acclimated to a whole new city. It's finding things like a car and a place to live. So those little details about life.
Try not to freeze.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd like it to be a little warmer. I'm okay with the rain, the cold, not so much.
All right. Well, it's great to have you here. So what's on your calendar going into the spring semester 2018?
Absolutely. We have a great brand new event that we're launching this year called Off to College Night. So anybody out there who has a senior who is about to go off to college, whether it be to UAS, which of course is what we always hope, but even if they're going outside, please, we welcome you to this event to come and learn about the FAFSA. If you have questions about the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, is exactly the same at UAS or any of the colleges outside. Come ask lots of questions. We'll have staff on hand to answer those individual questions. And also, it's a way for you to find out how to get in-state tuition for your senior who's looking at those outside schools at over 180 universities. So come and find out information.
Wait, one more time?
You can actually get in-state tuition at more than 180 universities, and we'll show you how.
Wow. That's a big deal.
It is a very big deal, and it can save a lot of money in the pocketbook right off the bat, and hardly anybody knows about it.
180 universities down south?
Exactly, all over. Puerto Rico, Guam,
wow.
Texas, Maine.
And you can get in-state tuition.
In-state tuition.
What a resource. All right, so February 8th, what day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday evening, and it's from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be in the Glacier View Room. Starting at UAS, we'll have some signs out, but we'll have lots of people to help you. If you haven't been on campus for a while, we'd love to show it off to you.
All right, that's Off to College Night, February 8th, 5 to 8 p.m.
That's correct.
Okay, what else is going on?
Scholarship deadline. So if you're looking at any of the University of Alaska schools, our scholarship deadline is February 15th. We timed this event to be the week before that deadline. It's also a Thursday. You need to make sure that you have submitted your scholarship application. We have a whole lot of money to give out to students, and a lot of times it goes unused. It really is not a rumor. I can 100% say I look at these scholarship dollars sit there because nobody applies for them. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost you anything to try.
Not to put you on the spot, but do any sort of come off the top of your head scholarships that don't get applied for that you would recommend people looking at?
We have a whole list on our website. I'm so sorry I cannot Brother Mox, I wish I had my checklist here, but bring me back on and I can definitely talk to you about those.
So, yeah, where can people find those on your website?
Absolutely. If you go to our scholarships website, you can find all kinds of information.
And the deadline again is?
February 15th.
Okay.
And it is a hard deadline, so make sure you get it in early.
And it usually takes a while to fill out these applications, right?
It does. It takes about an hour. And how I, you know, kind of equate this is that if it takes you a good solid hour to make a really good scholarship application and you're able to get a $500 scholarship out of that, you're making $500 an hour. That's more than I'm making. It's more than a lot of people in this town are making. Come on now.
That sounds great. What are you thinking about going into spring semester? Are there still opportunities to take classes?
Absolutely. Classes start next Tuesday, which we're really excited about. So if there's a class that you're really wanting to take, please look online. You can find that at UA Online, or you can come into the lower level of the Morant Building. We're more than happy to help you out. It's the Student Resource Center. So if you have questions, please come on in person, and we can walk you through the process.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great thing to think about, is to actually come out and put your feet on the ground and walk around the university, feel it out, and get a tour by probably one of your colleagues. And
absolutely. We try and give tours with current students, so that way you really get a feel for what they like about the college and what they don't. We don't pay them enough to lie, so they'll tell you honestly what they like.
Sounds good. What else is going on?
We're really excited gearing up for fall with some new recruitment activities. We are still trying to bring students both from local as well as students from other places as well. We're working closely with Ketchikan and Sitka, which we're very excited about, and the two campuses there, because we are all part of the University of Alaska Southeast. And so even if you don't want to take a face-to-face class, we have a number of distance opportunities as well that we're looking forward to. And so if that fits your schedule better, we can be that place for you as well.
Before we went on air, we were talking a little bit about the College of Education.
Yes, it's a big change. The University of Alaska Southeast is actually taking the lead to become the Alaska College of Education. It's housed completely at the University of Alaska Southeast. There will be an executive dean that actually oversees all of the education pathways in the state of Alaska. We're super excited about this opportunity and really to be taking the lead on all of the decisions of future educators in the state of Alaska.
Okay, great. You're listening to the voice of Marnie Kaler. She's the new UAS Director of Admissions, Recruitment, and Advising. Marnie, for more information, where should people go?
Just go to our website. You can find me. I'm the only Marnie. That's the great thing about having an unusual name. You can definitely track me down that way. Or stop into campus, and I'd love to chat with you personally.
Sounds good. Anything else you'd like to let our listeners know today?
That's great. I hope to see everybody on campus on February 8th.
And that's 5 to 8 p.m., right?
That is correct, and we'll have treats available.
Great. Thanks, Marnie.
Take care. Thanks.
What I've got, I don't want. All it does is a hovering tongue, reminding me what I used to be, what I may never be again. Turns out what I'm good at doing is making something out of the ruin of all this wasted space that can never be replaced. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can borrow or steal. Yes, I think we have a deal. If my wheels were square, but the earth was jagged, I'd roll along and be no less ragged than I seem to be today. I'm usually this way. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can't borrow or see. Yes, I think we have a deal. I wish every holiday only took an hour. That I'm not just like the people I resent.
I met. All I have that's in abundance is my perpetual redundance. It's hard for me to say. I face it every day. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can borrow or steal. Learn it all again tomorrow. Learn it all again tomorrow. Nothing I have you can borrow or steal. Yes, I think we have a deal.
Hi, this is Derek Lill, event supervisor at Centennial Hall with CBJ Parks and Recreation. Our team and I are looking forward to planning your event at Centennial Hall, Juneau's convention center located in the heart of downtown's Willoughby District. We offer a variety of equipment for rent, technical support, and room setup, and work with caterers to assist you in making your vision for the event come true. For more information, call 586-5283 or visit our website, centennialhall.net.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon on Thursday, January 11th. It's about 16 minutes past the top of the hour. In the studio now are Justin Jones and Natalie Watson, and we're going to be talking about Girls on the Run and Boys Run and possible coach recruitment. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, nice to have you here. I think a lot of us know what Girls on the Run and Boys Run is, but let our listeners know a little bit more, if you would.
Yes, indeed. So they're both empowerment programs that use running to empower kids. Girls on the Run is a national program that's been around for quite a while, and Boys Run, full name is Boys Run Etuwukatsi, and it was developed here in the southeast.
Okay. Excellent. So empowerment, how does that work in a running situation?
Well, they usually start with discussion, and there are some fun games that incorporate some topics, and then there's usually some practice laps at the end as they gradually work their way up to running a 5K.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've heard, running is just sort of the foundation for this, but it's not like you have to beat everybody and fast and distance. It is about the games, the topics, and self-esteem.
That's right.
And team building.
And doing your best. You know, it's totally non-competitive. And at the end, the 5K is a fun run, and everybody completes it. And so when they finish, they get this real taste of empowerment and achievement and validation that we think really will help them survive their adolescence.
Not an easy time, that's for sure. Justin, how are you related to this program?
So I work with Tlingit Haida, and we've been partnering with AWARE on developing the lesson plans and incorporating traditional Southeast tribal values. And then I, along with a Tlingit Haida staff member and two teachers with the Tlingit Culture Language Literacy Group, co-coached a team at Harborview with 7 boys from the TCLL program, 9 total from Harborview.
Okay. Take us into a session with them. Give our listeners an example. Where did you meet? What did you do? What was a successful activity?
We met them at school, and so we picked them up right after the end of the day. We started with, you know, a healthy snack, apples, oranges, water, kind of have a check-in time, see how they're doing, what was the best part of their day, and then jump into the lesson, one of which that sticks out to mind was the dealing with peer pressure and ways to overcome that. What happens when your friend wants you to cheat on a test? What can you say? Or what if they want you to steal something? What are ways to approach that?
Wow.
Then we talk into, for us, it was exploring outside. We really made the most of the location, ran to Cope Park, ran the Whale, explored the new wharf area. So that was the coolest part, was getting the boys to see the world around them, grow together as a team, and then really just enjoy their time. And I think make the connections with the adults that we had in our coaching staff. And then we'd, for us, drove them home and had a van full of 4th and 5th graders and all that fun that ensues with singing along to the songs and stuff. But it was a great experience. You know, we had them for an hour and a half, 2 hours or so, twice a week.
Sounds like you were a mentor to them in a sense, a community mentor.
Exactly. I think for us it was finding ways to make them feel a part of something, and it's something bigger, and really idea of community-based, and we're a family, we're a team. What does that look like? For a lot of these kids, it was their first time in a team sport. And what does that look like? Warm-ups, cool-downs, stretching. Why is that important? What are ways they can help each other? How can you help a friend that's struggling with running, or if they're having a tough day? What does that look like? What's that feel like? And so it really was a big mentor program of just connecting with kids, getting to know them, and seeing how you can help them navigate their daily lives.
And it sounds like there are opportunities for more people to do what you did, become mentors or coaches. How does that work?
That's right. So every season we need new coaches to step up. And we are currently recruiting now for both Girls on the Run and Boys Run. So we need men and women from the community who want to help help kids grow up to be their best, help empower girls and boys to be themselves. So we're going to have a coach training coming up. So February 3rd is the Girls on the Run coach training, and February 10th is the Boys Run coach training. And these are fun and interactive days where you can learn about the issues and how to implement the program. And I just want to say you get to work with a team of coaches, so you're not alone, and the curriculum is all laid out. And you also get a tub full of supplies, everything you need.
Okay. And is this at all the elementary schools in the district?
Girls on the Run is going to be at 5 elementary schools and both middle schools. For now, Boys Run is at Harborview and Montessori. But it's kind of all dependent on how many coaches we get. So sure. The more coaches we get, the more we can expand.
Okay. And you mentioned it will be a team of coaches. What time do they usually meet?
They meet after school twice a week. So usually it's Mondays and Wednesdays, sometimes Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's either 75 or 90 minutes a time. And coaches can decide to volunteer just once a week or twice a week.
And generally speaking, when is after school for elementary schools here?
Mostly it's 2:30 to 4. Okay. There's one starts at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's a 10-week season. We're going to finish with a 5K on May 12th.
Okay, so basically, you know, you'd go to the coach training either on the 3rd or the 10th, start volunteering probably once or twice a week, and it would go till May 10th?
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. From your experience, Justin, why was it fun for you? What kind of person makes a good coach?
I really think anyone that just wants to be involved. I think the initial thought is, oh, I don't run or I don't like running. But I think with this, it's so much more. And I think even someone that's not a runner could totally have fun with this because you're learning together. And I think that was the big part with the kids is some might not enjoy running off the bat. And it's like, okay, how can we make it fun for them? And you make different ways to explore and to, I'll race you to the stop sign. And then you keep moving, I'll race you to the next stop sign. And so finding ways to get them to enjoy and find how their body works in terms of running and exercising and the effects of that. So I think anyone that just wants to be involved with youth and have fun, and I think the best part for me was being able to play again. You know, you go to after school and you play different tag games and you run around the gym, and so finding different ways to enjoy yourself. And it's kind of putting yourself back in the shoes of a 8-, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and be able to just unleash your inner kid, I think, was my favorite part of everything.
Okay. How does one start the process besides attending either February 3rd or the 10th, Natalie?
Yeah, well, Girls on the Run has a great website. It's gotrgreateralaska.org. You can find out everything about the program there. You can sign up as a coach. You can sign up your daughter. For Boys Run, we're still kind of getting going, so probably the best thing to do is call me. I'm at 586-4902. You can also email me. I'm at nataliew@awareak.org. There's a little information on the AWARE website, and there's also some information at the Sitkins Against Family Violence website. They have even more information. So this is going on throughout the Southeast now.
Oh, excellent.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Girls on the Run training February 3rd, Boys Run training on February 10th. For more information, you can call Natalie Watson here at 586-4902. Okay. And we've been speaking with Justin Jones and Natalie Watson here on a June afternoon. Is there anything we're missing or anything either of you would like to add?
Well, if you can't be a coach, you can also volunteer at the 5K. We need lots of volunteers to be running buddies or help staff tables. So May 12th, save the date.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show, you too.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy a marvelous evening of martinis and Mozart, two of life's greatest pleasures. William Ransom, pianist and artistic director of Juno Jazz and Classics, and renowned pianist Julie Coucheron will be performing some favorite works by Mozart for four-handed piano. The festival schedule will be announced and be one of the first to purchase tickets. See you at the Jack, Sunday, January 14th at 7 p.m. Tickets at jazzandclassics.org, the Jack, and Hearthside Books. This promises to be one magical evening. Don't miss it.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, January 11th. We're right at the bottom of the hour. In the studio now is Brenda Wright and Jim Beadle, and we're going to be talking about tonight's Autobahn meeting and presentation. Welcome to the show, Jim and Brenda.
Thanks. It's a great day to talk about birds.
It is. Inside, right?
Right.
So the meeting is tonight at UAS?
Yes, indeed. It's at the Recreation Center, not the regular campus, but the across the street, room 116.
Okay, so you go around the new roundabout and head up the hill, and then you take a left, right?
Yes, that's correct. I always take a left when you go to the rec center.
Okay, room 116 starts at 7 p.m., and I imagine you'll be going over some Autobahn stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, upcoming Southeast festivals, things like that.
Okay, and then Jim, you'll also be doing a presentation, is that right?
Yeah, Brenda asked me if I could maybe get people a little excited about getting out and seeing birds, and especially with springtime not too far around the corner, so I've got a slide program that it's got some really neat pictures of the migratory birds passing through and some of the things that they're catching and eating. But I've included a lot of the local birds. You don't need to wait for spring to get out and see the wildlife around Juneau. They're there all the time.
So are you getting out right now and seeing birds?
I was at Statler Harbor just the other day. It's beautiful today. There's no wind. Eagle Beach would have been great. Boy Scout Camp, fantastic, because the northerly is not blowing. But Statler Harbor's got to have at least 15 different kinds of birds in it right now. And it's just for a nice, short, little, close walk, it's incredible.
Okay, and what are a few of the birds we might see right now? Who's hanging around in Juneau for the winter?
Yeah, a lot of the ones are the ones that spend the winter with us. They go someplace else to breed, but they come back here because our ocean doesn't normally freeze. And there's lots of things we're going to be, like the scoters and a lot of the ducks, the golden eye, the things that we don't often see very much of during the summer, like, and harlequins, too.
Well, that's interesting to think that Juneau is south for them. They've come down south,
yes,
right?
To the warm.
To vacation here in Southeast.
Banana belt, yeah.
I really like seeing they call them the long tails now. They're beautiful birds, and they're hanging around out at Statler Harbor now. And we used to, just recently, we've had a lot of common murres for whatever reason have been coming into the Juneau area. I didn't see any out there the other day, but for the last few years, there's been a lot of them that have been hanging around Juneau.
Very cool. Before we went on the air, I was telling you both about how I saw these ducks hanging out in this frozen water by Egan. And Brenda, tell our listeners what you told me.
Oh, yeah. The ducks have a very interesting thing that happens in their legs. Everybody has to have blood circulating to keep your body warm. But they have a shunt at the bottom of their leg right before it gets to the foot. And at very cold weather, the shunt keeps blood from going to the foot. And so the foot does not freeze to the ice.
Wow. Interesting. And you were telling me, Jim, that this is the kind of stuff you learn all the time when you go on these Autobahn trips.
Well, we are really fortunate. By living in Juneau, we've got some very, very knowledgeable people that you can run into out on your walks. And you run into Barb Armstrong or Mary Wilson, lots of different people. And I don't know. I'm just out there because I like to see the wildlife, and I see something, and I run into Bob, and Bob, what is going on here? And Bob will give you, I've got some pictures of some really, really beautiful birds, godwits. I'd never, ever seen a Juneau, so I'm out at Bartlett Cove, and I'll be showing some pictures tonight. And Bob tells me they've got bills like 7 inches long, and they're sticking them in the sand, and they're pulling worms out faster than any bird I have ever seen. And he tells me that they got these sensors that are in their bill that allows them to somehow figure out that these worms are down there. And then like a jackhammer, they'll be just jabbing down, and it's kind of like they're loosening up the sand, so when they pull out the 7-inch worm, maybe it doesn't break in half. But I'm watching these things not knowing what's going on, and that's kind of the importance of Audubon and the people that are there. Is they've got a bunch of knowledgeable people that can tell you how it's happening and why it's happening, and that's the thing that really gets you excited when you start knowing why birds are doing something.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, Brenda, you have meetings like tonight and presentations.
Uh-huh.
What else
do you
all do?
Every second Thursday of the month, all winter. And so next month on February 9th, our speakers are going to be Scott and Betsy Fisher, and they're going to talk about learning to bird through a lens, like learning to use your binoculars and camera. And Jim might not have mentioned it, but he is a fantastic photographer. This is going to be a really nice show tonight.
Okay. When will you all start heading out onto the trail again?
Well, our migration, our regular walks are always kind of scheduled around the spring migration, so they start in mid-April and go through mid-June. And we don't have any really officially scheduled walks in wintertime. But there are birds out there. Just today I saw a cedar waxwing. So.
And there's something strange been going on out at Point Lena the last few years. There's the Eurasian ringed dove that's been out there quite a bit in the summertime, and I just saw three of them in just this last week walking the Lena Loop. And they're supposed to be rare around here, yet they're, I think you're only supposed to see them in the wintertime, and yet they've been living on Lena Loop for the last few years.
What do they look like?
They're
slightly larger than a robin gray, and they look very much like our rock pigeons, but they're all gray with just a black collar around their neck. They're actually from Africa originally, and they've come up to the U.S. On their own. They came from the Indies just only 10 or 15 years ago, and they've traveled across the entire United States. So it's not a native bird, but it wasn't brought here. It came by itself.
Interesting, interesting.
And how can they take Juno's winter in Florida?
Jim, about how long do you expect your presentation will last tonight?
Well, if I don't talk a lot, it's what I really want to do is I want to show the picture, tell people where I took it, and have them tell me what the bird is, because there's a whole bunch of these birds. I don't know what they are. I don't know my seagulls. I don't know my shorebirds. I don't know my sandpipers. I'm colorblind, red and green, so it makes it a little bit difficult for me when it comes to identifying these birds. So if I don't talk much, it'll be just about a half hour.
It'll be kind of like Bird Jeopardy, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah, yeah.
Remind us the details of where and when, Brenda.
Okay, it's tonight at 7 p.m. at UAS Recreation Center around the loop at DeHarts and up the hill and take a left. It's room 116. It starts at 7 p.m.
Is there a cost?
No, it's all free and open to the public.
Great. Brenda Wright, Jim Beadle, thanks for coming on the show today. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh, thank you so much, Scott, and enjoy your bird watching.
All right, thanks.
This is Bird Note. We've all heard about the early bird getting the worm. We know it as sound advice about initiative and timely action. And we can almost see that robin leaning back and tugging that recalcitrant worm out of the ground. Research shows, however, that birds dining early and heavily may lower their life expectancy. A study of three North American woodland bird species found that socially dominant birds stay lean during the day and then stoke up when it's most important, later in the day, before a cold night. At night, birds avoid hypothermia by metabolizing fat. And by staying lean through most of the day, dominant birds are more agile in avoiding predators. Subordinate birds have to look for food whenever and wherever they can find it, and carry fat on their bodies to hedge against unpredictable rations. Dominant birds, which can push subordinates off food, can choose when they eat, and so lessen their odds of being eaten themselves. Therefore, at least in the woodland birds' world, the revised moral might read, get the worm late in the day. You'll sleep better and live longer. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Support for Bird Note comes from Bloomsbury, announcing the new book, Winter Birds, with paintings by artist and ornithologist Lars Johnson. Available wherever books are sold.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, January 11th. Scott Burton, your host today. It's about 20 minutes till the top of the hour. In Studio A with me now is Mercedes Munoz. She's the interim director at the Canvas Arts Gallery. Welcome to the show, Mercedes.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so you want to talk about your dinner, the big, cool dinner that's coming up on January 27th.
Yes, so the Canvas will once again be hosting our annual fundraising dinner and silent auction. It's going to be coming up, like you said, January 27th. That's a Saturday. It's a very fun event. It's going to be in the Canvas Gallery and Studio itself, which is how we've always done it. The cool thing about this event is that since we have it in-house and due to all the generosity of the community and all the sponsors we have, I'll talk a little bit about them in a minute, but due to all that generosity, we're able to keep the costs of this event low so that all the funds raised are going directly back into the quality arts programming that the Canvas offers. So when you buy a ticket to the event, a $60 ticket, and that includes a handcrafted plate by our studio manager, Alex Botello, that money is going right back into our programming. Same with all the silent auction bidding items at the event. So your dollars are going right back into the program.
One-to-one, direct.
Yeah.
Speaking of quality programming, in case people don't know, give us a few examples of what you all do.
So some of that programming includes access to visiting and local arts instructors. We're always looking to teach a variety of classes to the community and to the artists we serve and really try to provide an inclusive arts environment for our community. So we're always looking for new teachers, and those funds can help us employ teachers on a temporary basis to come in and keep our arts programming unique and mix things up. And then also quality art materials, that goes for all areas of our program, our ceramic studio, our printmaking, drawing, painting, jewelry. We offer a variety of classes, so having access to quality materials is very important. And then lastly, just outreach and promotion of our program, getting the word out about the artists we serve with developmental disabilities. It gives us the opportunity to share what they do.
Okay. So 6 to 9 on January 27th. That's, did we already say Saturday, right?
It will be Saturday.
All right.
And a few important details as well. We have dinner that will be plated dinner by V's Cellar Door, and she has generously donated her time to this event.
Wow.
And so we're very grateful for her. And she's done the event in the past and did a fantastic job, and she has a really yummy menu planned.
Right.
And Pie in the Sky, she'll be donating dessert, and she'll be pairing the dessert to go with that dinner, so that'll be fantastic. And this event will also be sponsored by the Alaskan Brewing Company and Duck Creek Market, who have generously supplied beer and wine for our event in the past, and they're doing so again this year. So, again, lots of community support, and a big part of the event, my favorite part, is the silent auction. And so we've been getting so many fun silent auction items, and just I've been overwhelmed with the community support. Everyone has been so eager to participate in this event and donate items to our silent auction. Some of the few bigger items that we have are a weekend getaway with seaplanes tickets included from Juneau to Tenneke, lodging there in Tenneke. And yeah, so that's provided. The lodging was provided, and then tickets through seaplanes. So whole weekend package. Of course, we have lots of local art. In addition to that, glacier adventure tour through North Star Trekking. And that's just a few of the things that we have.
Okay, so it starts at 6. How does it work? Do you have different seatings, or do you just come as you can and you get seated when you get there? How does it work?
Well, seating is limited, and so we would encourage anybody that's interested in attending to call and reserve a seat over the phone, come in person, or you can sign up online. Our website is canvasarts.org, and tickets are for sale on there. But once you come in, yeah, there's no seating plan, so you can pick your seat. If you want to come with a big group, we can definitely help you arrange a table, so get your own reserved table. But if you're coming in just as an individual or a couple, then you can just take a seat wherever you'd like.
And do you do seating both in the studio and the gallery?
We do the silent auction in our gallery.
Okay.
And then we do the seating in our other room there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you already mention music?
Oh, I did not mention music. Thank you. Tom Loker has also generously donated his time to be playing piano there at the event. So it's a semi-formal event. It's very fun. We'll have dinner by Bee's Cellar Door, amazing piano music by Tom Loker. If you've heard him before, and I'm sure you have if you live in Juneau, he's fantastic. And he's helped us with this event many times in the past. And the great thing about this event, too, is that you get to take home the plate. And it's designed in-house, made in-house. Our ceramic studio manager, Alex, is working away. The kiln is running nonstop
right now.
He has a deadline, and he is motivated.
I know, and a lot of people are big fans of his work.
Yes.
So that's a great gift or thing.
Absolutely.
That you get to take home, right?
Yeah, and it's a partnership that we've done with the plate. So it's always created by our ceramic studio manager, hand-thrown on the wheel, but then we've chosen imagery by one of the artists that we serve with developmental disabilities. And we chose the artwork done by one of the artists that is very near and dear to our heart, who had passed away this last fall, and we wanted to recognize him. So.
And I'm seeing the design.
Yes,
is that
that's
it there?
The image.
How would you describe it to our listeners?
Oh, goodness. Very pattern-based. The image itself was very colorful, and the transfer process we have onto pottery is just a sepia tone color. So Alex has been working with underglazes and glazes to replicate that color that he had on the image. So you still get the outline drawing and get the vision of what that looks like, and then he has added in that color as well.
Beautiful, almost like branches of leaves.
Yeah.
Really nice lines.
Yeah, you're better at describing it. Yes, but it's beautiful, and the plates look amazing. I've saw some completely finished for the first time the other day, and they look really cool. They're unlike any plate we've had at the dinner that I've seen before, and this is my fourth, maybe fifth year doing the dinner. So it's going to be a very fun event, and we are just so appreciative to the community for coming out and supporting us, getting this event together, and then coming to the event itself, and it really means a lot to our program.
All right, that's Mercedes Munoz from the Canvas. Their dinner and silent auction is from 6 to 9 on Saturday, January 27th. And you can get tickets, again, where?
On our website, canvasarts.org, or you can call the Canvas, 586-1750, or stop in and let us know what you're looking to get, and we'll help you out.
Sounds good. Mercedes, thanks for your time. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it. Thanks so much, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did you miss our Midnight Oil podcast? It's not too late to take a spin with Alaska's Energy Desk through the highs.
People are like, do you really get paid for living there? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, dang, what'd I spend my PhD on?
And lows.
It really just happened to us. It was a classic boom bust. It was just classic.
Of Alaska's history as an oil state. Visit KTOO.org or subscribe to Midnight Oil wherever you get your podcasts.
Juno afternoon here on Thursday, January 11th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today. We have about 9 minutes until the top of the hour here in the studio to tell us all about what's happening this weekend in arts and entertainment is the executive director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council herself, Nancy DeCherney.
Okay, we're going to speed through this because we don't have much time and there's so much to do. You talked already, I think, yesterday or something, with this evening at, from 7 to 8. The Juno Audubon Society is doing Juno's Birds in the Spring out at UAS Rec Center. Jim Beadle, that's free, of course. And tomorrow we have Family Night on the Turf at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. All families are welcome to... It says, come run, shout, and play with the turf toys. That's from 5 to 6:30 p.m. It's free.
And warm inside. It's always sunny in the turf house, right?
It's always sunny in the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, yes. From 6 to 8 p.m., there's the monthly LGBTQL and family potluck out at Aldersgate. It's family-friendly. And for more information, you know, you can go on to our website, jahc.org and ktoo.org. And get all of the like details, phone numbers and stuff like that if you need them. Tomorrow, 6:30 to 8 p.m., the Fireside Lectured Series, What Makes Katmai Wildlife So Special? Jim Beadle will be presenting that. 7:30 to 8:30, we have a real treat this weekend. We have the Conbrio Chamber Series doing Contemporary Arctic Dreams. They'll have two performances. Jocelyn Clark is in town, so she will be playing the Korean zither. And I believe Lisa Ibias is here. Sally Schlichting coordinates this. The first one is Friday night, 7:30 to 8:30 at Holy Trinity. And then there's another performance on Saturday from 2 to 3:15 at the Alaska State Museum. So good opportunity. Of course, on Friday night, you do want to go to the toga party.
Toga.
Yes, Gamble on the High Cost of Living will be performing. This is a fundraiser. Oh, there'll be limbo contests, hot dogs, sausages, and all of this is to benefit the Orpheus Project, which is working on... Sorry. Now. It says so right here. Got your attention now. Okay, so it's a fundraiser for the Orpheus Project, who is writing an opera about the Princess Sophia. They have commissioned an opera about the Princess Sophia sinking, and they're going to have that happen October 25th. So you want to come to that. $18 in advance, $25 at the door. So all of you people who come at last minute are really helping out. On Saturday, we have the second Saturday market at the Airport Mall. We have from 10:30 to noon coffee and collections at the City Museum. Abel Ryan will talk about his solo exhibit, which is phenomenal.
I've heard nothing but good about that.
It's amazing. Coffee provided by Heritage Coffee, and sometimes there's little treats, too. From noon to 3, there is the UAS Alumni Art and Wine 101 at the UAS Sobolov Building. You can call and get, there's going to be a ceramics class. This is a fundraiser for the Alumni Association. Call 796-6569 and get on board with that sort of thing. again, the Conbrio Concert at the State Museum at 2. Every other Saturday drawing group is at the Canvas from 4:45 to 8. You have to be there promptly at 4:45 because they close the doors at 5. 7 to 8:30 p.m., the Treadwell Ditch, Past, Present, and Future at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, History of this the Treadwell Mine. And this is a fundraiser for the Southeast Alaska Land Trust and Trail Mix. On Sunday, there is a Juno Singh Sacred Harp at Holy Trinity from 2 to 3, and Martinis and Mozart. Who doesn't want to do that on a Sunday evening? 7 to 9 p.m., two of the life's greatest pleasures, Martinis and Mozart, four-handed piano featuring Julie Cocheron and Will Ransom, who's the artistic director of Jazz and Classics. That's at the Jack. Get your tickets online. They're doing a special. If you're a KTOO member or an Arts Council member or maybe a Perseverance member, you can get these tickets, two for the price of one. So don't miss that. Now, Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and it is also the day that wearable art tickets are going to go on sale to the general public. Let me say right now, there are 85 tickets left for Saturday and 530 tickets left for Sunday. You can fix that. Call now. Become a member. Get your tickets now ahead of the race. There is also the Dr. Martin Luther King Annual Community Observance from 1 to 2 out at St. Paul's Catholic Church. Wonderful speakers, musical performances. I bet Sherry Patterson's going to sing. It's going to be amazing. This is sponsored by Black Awareness and the Bridge Builders of Juneau. It's free, of course. There's free legal help from 1 to 4 at the Diamond Courthouse on that day. And also modern dance class out at Juneau Dance Theater. We got pickleball on Tuesday from 11 to 1 at Centennial Hall. There's a Juneau Public Library pop-up library, and I don't know what that's about, so we'll have to get more information on that from 11:30 to 12:30 on Tuesday. Arts Roundtable at the Jack. Annie Bartholomew is going to be talking about how to grow as a musician in Alaska. So if you're a musician thinking about building your career, come to the roundtable, and Annie will share some tips. That's from 5 to 6:30 at the Jack. Gravitational waves at the Marie Drake Planetarium from 7 to 8. And that sort of sums it up for the week. Got enough?
That's enough. And remind us where we can find all that again.
JAHC.org and KTOO.org. We'll see you at everything.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
That's
Arts Up.
For the KTOO and Taku Fisheries Seafood Festival on Saturday, February 3rd at Centennial Hall, a culinary celebration of all we love in Juneau. Your favorite restaurants will be showing off their seafood creations furnished by Hook Seafood and Taku Fisheries. To satisfy your sweet tooth, Koper, Glacial Grinds, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company will serve desserts. The event will be kicked off with a beer tasting by Alaskan Brewing Company with limited seats. Tickets at KTOO.org. This event is made possible with support from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and Pacific Seafood Processors Association.
Well, thank you for tuning into a Juneau afternoon. Taking a look at the weather for the rest of the today, it's going to be partly cloudy with highs around 20 and light winds, except in the valley where highs will be around 15. Tomorrow, Friday, snow accumulation around 2 inches, highs around 30, east winds to 15. Saturday, snow and rain likely. Thank you for tuning in to a Juneau afternoon.